Please listen to God's word as I read from Hebrews chapter 11. I'll be preaching from verses 5 and 6 about Enoch today, but I'll read verses 1 through 7 today. This is God's word. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it, he, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Last week we found that Abel died, and yet he still speaks. You can still hear his testimony of faith through the sacrifice that he offered, the sacrifice of blood that pointed forward to his trust in Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. It was the Redeemer that God had promised to Adam and Eve on that very first day that sin entered the world. And Abel, though he died, still speaks. Like Abel, Enoch believed in the Redeemer that God had promised. By faith, Hebrews says, Enoch pleased God. And it would be tempting to go on and to say, like Abel, that Enoch, though dead, still speaks. But there's something interesting about Enoch that is different from Abel. They are alike in one way. They both trusted in the Redeemer that God had promised. But they were different in a very important way. Enoch never died. It really stands out when you read through Genesis chapter 5, doesn't it? This morning as I read through it, at the close of each of the individuals that lived and had children, it gives their length of days, and it says, and he died. But it does not say that of Enoch. Enoch walked with God, and he was no more because God took him. In the history of all of mankind, there are only two people that we can say this of. Two people that escaped physical death. Enoch was one, and the prophet Elijah was the other. And today we're going to think about Enoch and the faith that he had in God and how this pleased God. For your benefit, on the back of the bulletin, I've placed an outline that you can follow along. The main message of this sermon is that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Therefore, believe that God is, and that he rewards those who seek him. I'm going to begin by thinking about these words about Enoch. And on the outline, you'll see that I have two lines. That's because it talks about Enoch in two different ways in the Old and New Testament. So if you want to fill in the blank, it's that Enoch pleased God, or you could also say that Enoch walked with God. The first is what Hebrews says. Hebrews says that Enoch pleased God. But then Genesis speaks of Enoch in this way. Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Hebrews says that he pleased God, and Genesis says that he walked with God. And there is an interesting translation philosophy behind this that I'm not going to go into. But suffice it to say that the author of Hebrews is quoting from the Greek translation of the Old Testament. And those translators understood that to walk with God and the preservation of Enoch could be best translated by saying that he pleased God. Literally, it is that he walked with God, but the Greek translation says that he pleased God, and the author of Hebrews quotes that. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. He applies that then to this very important aspect of faith, that by faith, Enoch walked with God, or Enoch pleased God. Now let's think about those phrases just for a little bit, because they are very remarkable, aren't they? They are intermingled, and I'm going to mingle them together, but let's start by considering just the whole concept of walking with God. In the context of Genesis, what comes to your mind first? Well, Adam and Eve walked with God in the Garden of Eden. Before they sinned, they walked with Him without any mediation. There was an amazing relationship that they had because God came to them directly. And they walked with Him and they lived in perfect fellowship with God in the Garden of Eden. But when sin entered the world, when Adam and Eve rebelled, God rightly sent them out of the Garden of Eden. He drove them out, and at the edge of the garden, He placed His angel with a flaming sword to guard the entrance. No more could mankind come back into the presence of God based on their own righteousness. They could not walk with God the way Adam and Eve had done. So, how could Genesis say that Enoch walked with God? Hebrews 11 provides the answer to that. He didn't walk with God the way Adam and Eve did when they were innocent. Instead, Enoch walked with God based on his faith, a faith in Jesus Christ. He was not there trusting in his own righteousness or in his own goodness. His hope and his trust was squarely placed on the Redeemer that God had promised to Adam and Eve. To use New Testament language, he knew that it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us. And so Enoch walked with God by faith, and specifically a faith in the Redeemer that God had promised. He had faith in Jesus. Even before Jesus was incarnate, he was hoping and looking forward to the Redeemer to come. Can you see what the author of Hebrews is doing here? He has been passionately appealing to an audience that had trusted in Jesus Christ, but now their faith was wavering. They faced a variety of pressures. There was real and literal persecution from the Jewish temple and the synagogues. There were men and women that were being cast out of the synagogues and cast out of the temple because they were trusting in Jesus Christ. And so there were some who were turning away from Jesus and were reverting back into the Old Testament types and shadows that were prefiguring Jesus, but that were lacking in the fulfillment that Jesus brought. And he's been warning those readers that to turn away is to turn back into a form of religion, a form that is incomplete. It was anticipating Jesus, and to turn away from the completion is to reject the salvation that is offered. And so he has spoken about the dire consequences of those who turn away, and then most immediately he says, But we are not of those who draw back. We are those who place our faith, our hope, in the promised Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And what is this faith? Well, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And in fact, here are some ways that his Jewish readers should have understood that. He goes back into the Old Testament and says, these individuals will lead you to understand what this faith is. So he speaks of creation. He speaks of Abel. And now he speaks of Enoch. Enoch who believed that God would send a Redeemer. Enoch who walked with God and therefore was pleasing to him. All throughout his life, he rested in Jesus Christ, conforming his life to God's commands and living out that faith. That's the point of verse 6 in Hebrews 11. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it's impossible to walk with God. It's impossible to please him. And in this context, Enoch brings to light how faith implies a personal relationship with God, a walking with him, in a sense, face to face. Now, by the testimony of Abel, we learned that we enter that relationship by faith in Jesus Christ. That's the testimony of Abel, that we are right with God, we are righteous in his eyes, because of the sacrifice of Jesus that cleanses us from our sins, and the righteousness of Jesus that's given to us. But we can continue on now to see that in Enoch there's more to the Christian life. There's more than just a one moment in time at which you profess faith. It is a lifestyle of resting in Jesus Christ. It is a whole life of walking with God and resting in him. Let me compare it to a personal relationship in this life. Just a casual glance at a married couple will make it plain of how they walk together and how they live in a relationship together. My parents have been married over 60 years now, and I still see them holding hands when they walk together. It really is a wonderful thing to see. Sometimes we get out pictures of their wedding some 60 years ago, and my dad still smiles at my mom the way he did in those pictures from 60 years ago. And my mom still looks at my dad with the same eyes. You can see it in the pictures. You can see it in their marriage. They have vowed to live together in sickness and in health, for rich or for poor, till death do they part. They have vowed to live together in this way. They walk in a living relationship of companionship. By faith in Jesus Christ, you walk with God in a living companionship. You walk with God knowing that he has loved you, and loved you so much that he has sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sins. And that he has loved you knowing full well that you have no way of keeping up your promises to him. You and I fail daily in our obedience to Jesus Christ. But God knows that. And he has loved you, and he has made you accepted in the beloved. That's what Paul says in Ephesians 1. You're accepted in the beloved, and that's Jesus, the beloved Son of God. You are accepted in him. When you think about this, isn't this what God created man to be? God created Adam and Eve to walk and to talk with him in fellowship and perfect companionship in the Garden of Eden. And it's sin that destroys that. Jesus restores that relationship with God. No longer can we come to God based on our own righteousness. Remember, that way has been barred. We have disqualified ourselves by our own sins. But by faith in Jesus, we enter back into that face-to-face relationship with God. And God has vowed, upon His life, that He will keep you, that He will love you in sickness and in health, for rich or for poor. And guess what? Death will not part you from God. And there's something of a hint of that in Enoch, because the Lord preserved Enoch from the physical death which was part of the curse. The Lord preserved him from that. Enoch walked with God, and then he could not be found. Imagine his children going to call him, say, "Mom says supper's ready." But he's not there. And they searched for him, and they couldn't find him. And we conclude by revelation that they understood that God took him. What a hopeful promise that this must have stood for those who knew the burden of death. They saw it all around them. They were afflicted with them themselves. They knew that they would die. But God preserved Enoch from that as a hint of the promise to come of everlasting life that we have in Jesus Christ. So Enoch walked with God. He pleased God. How? Because of his faith in Jesus Christ. Well, that might be enough for today, but Hebrews goes on, and so I will too. It helps us to understand two elements of that faith. They're very helpful to us. Hebrews 11 goes on to say, "He who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So let's think about those two very important elements of our faith in Jesus Christ. The first is that we believe that God is. In the context of Hebrews 11, I've said a couple of times recently that the Christian faith is not the blind faith as some people make it out to be, or the blind faith of human philosophy cut off from God. Neither is it the Disney version that says that anything is possible if you will only believe. And neither is it your coach inspiring you to self-confidence, calling upon you to just believe in yourself and you can win the championship. That is not Christian faith. Christian faith has substance. It has an object that we trust in. It has a person that we trust in. We trust in the person and work of Jesus Christ. We trust in the God of the Bible, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And our faith has promises that have been given to us that build up and form the foundation and structure of our faith. We believe what God has said about Himself, about us, about the way that we can come back into a relationship with Him. Christian faith is not blind. It's not in ourselves. It is in a God who saves. This is important for us in our world, that we are professing that God is, that God exists. More and more I'm finding that that I meet individuals that claim to be agnostic. That means that they say, well, I'm not sure if there is a God. And they're living that out in their lives as well. Or they might be a little more honest about that. They might say, I think there is no God. In fact, it's very cool these days to be skeptical. It's cool these days to follow and to read and to be disciples of what some have called the neo-atheists. People like Richard Dawkins and authors like him. There is a growing spirit of atheism in the world today. And you'll find it especially on the campuses of universities. And I just want to alert you, especially in our town, that where the university plays such an important role, that we testify to something different. We testify that God is, that God exists. And there's more to it than just the existence of God, because not only does the author of Hebrews call you to believe that God exists, but there's substance even to that profession. Specifically, we believe that God is the God of the Bible. He is the God who appeared to Moses in the burning bush. And here I want especially the children to think of your vacation Bible school lesson on Tuesday. You might remember that Mrs. Carroll told you about how God appeared to Moses in a burning bush. And he gave a special name to himself there. The name that he gave was, I am that I am. Now that's not like any name that I've heard somebody give themselves. I know of people who are named Jacob and Sarah and Nathan and Emily. But I've never heard of a name called I Am That I Am. That's how God named himself. And it is a really wonderful name that has a lot of depth to it. One aspect of that is that God exists. Plain and simple, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the God who was, who is, and who is to come. This God exists eternally as infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. In fact, the reference that Hebrews gives to God is could also be part of this translation of God's name, also referring to that Greek translation of the Old Testament. It records the name as this: I am the one who is. And so our profession of faith is into this one true God of the Bible. In order to please God, you must believe that He is, that He is this God of the Bible. But next, you must believe that He is the one who rewards those who diligently seek for Him. In saying this, Hebrews is inviting you to consider not only who you believe in, but why you believe in Him. Why should you repent and trust in Jesus? Why should you not turn away from Him? Well, the answer is that God is, and that He rewards or judges all men. That idea of rewarding carries with it both a warning and an invitation. The warning is this: if you act like there is no God, then God who is will reward you. Think of it this way. How do you act when no one else is around? How do you act if you think that no one will ever, ever, ever find out what you are doing at that moment. Unfortunately, we often behave badly. We often indulge sin in those moments when we think that no one else is watching. But then Dad catches you. Has that ever happened to you, children? You think you might be getting away with something, and then all of a sudden your mom finds out, your dad finds out, and you immediately stop and you try to look innocent. You never would have acted that way if you thought you would have been caught. Well, there's a kind of a functional atheism that's acting out, isn't there? When we behave badly, we're saying, well, God doesn't exist. God doesn't care. God will not judge. But there's a warning from Enoch. God is. And he is the rewarder or the judge of all men. The truth of the matter is that God knows all things. Nothing can be hid from God. So act like you believe this. Act like you believe that God is, that he knows all things, that he is a rewarder to all men. Act this way by cutting off sin. But along with this, God not only judges wickedness, he also rewards those who diligently seek for him. And here's the invitation. He not only judges, but he also saves. By faith, you come to God as the one and the only one who can save you from your sins. And he can do that because of Jesus. He can do that because of the promise of a Redeemer that runs all throughout Scripture. And that's what the book of Hebrews has been pressing upon us. It has been pointing out over and over again the greatness of Jesus Christ, the fullness of revelation, the accomplishment of the sacrifice that all of the Old Testament was anticipating. And it's saying, God forgives you in Jesus Christ. And the invitation is to seek that out. It means that Jesus is able to save to the uttermost those who come to him by faith. So once again, act like you believe that. Act like you believe that Jesus is the Savior by seeking mercy day by day, by seeking grace from him as you live out your faith, by committing your whole heart to walking with him and living in relationship with him. Enoch did, and by faith he pleased God. By faith, Enoch believed that God is and that he rewards those who seek him. So let me close by asking you a question. What are you seeking? Enoch's faith provides a warning and an invitation. I've made them already, but let me make them once more. The warning is that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That makes sense, doesn't it? You have to believe that God exists in order to have any hope of salvation. You have to believe that he is. But more specifically, you must believe in the God of the Bible. You cannot believe in the God of the Muslims or the Hindu gods. You must believe in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit of the Bible. You must believe in Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. You must repent and trust in his salvation. That is the warning that God judges, and even more specifically, that God judges in Jesus Christ as well. Did you know that Enoch appears one other time in the Bible? He appears in the book of Jude. I want you to hear what Jude says about Enoch. This is a little book almost to the very end. If you want to look it up this afternoon, it's a one-pager. He's warning about those who scoff at God, and he says this: "Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, saying, 'Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him.'" Jude doesn't mince words, does he? Without faith, you are ungodly. Without faith, you cannot please God. Without faith, you will be judged by Christ forever and ever. Enoch's faith warns you. Enoch's faith provides an invitation as well. God is the rewarder of those who seek diligently for Him. Jesus has promised this, and the children will recognize this as well. Remember what Jesus said to His disciples: "In My Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, you may be also." Think of that in terms of what this message has been, that by faith we are brought into a relationship with Christ. And we live that out in this life and for all eternity to come. We live in fellowship with Jesus Christ because He has prepared a way. By His death, His resurrection, His mediation, His obedience, Jesus draws you into walking with Him. But once more, listen to these words from Jude. "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." You are not saved by your own goodness. It's by grace that you are saved. And so by Jesus Christ, you are built up in the love of God. You are looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ and receive eternal life. So what are you seeking? If you're seeking to please God and to walk with Him, then it must be by faith. By faith in the God of the Bible. By faith in the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Without it, you cannot please Him. But by faith in Jesus Christ, the Lord offers to you and enters into you, giving you the gift of eternal life. You may not be like Enoch, who did not see death. But Enoch believed and pleased God. If you seek God by faith, by His grace, you will find Him. And in Christ, like Enoch, you will have eternal life. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, thank You for the promise of life that You give to us in Jesus Christ. Thank You for the gift of faith that You pour out upon us by Your Spirit, so that we are enabled to believe, that You change our hearts so that we are drawn by Your love and by Your Spirit to love You in return, to repent, to place our trust in Jesus. O Lord God, I pray that we would heed this warning, that we would not treat You as if You don't exist, or that You are irrelevant. But it's not to be swayed by the world, to fear what the world says about You. Instead, oh God, I pray that we would testify that You exist, that You are the God of the Bible, the one true God, and that You are the rewarder of all men. And as we seek You, we thank You for the promise that those who seek will find, We pray that you would bless us, even as you bless all those of faith. You bless us with that companionship, that union with Christ, and the gift of everlasting life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll close by singing Psalm 1, Selection A. We sing of walking with God in this psalm. We sing of abiding with Him, even like a tree that sinks its roots deeply into the waters of Christ. We, as the people of God, do that. Let's stand and sing Psalm 1, Selection A.